Colonel Jones, Reel 1. Can you tell me, first of all, your full name and where you were born?
Yes, I'll have to spell it out for you. Or if it's Myrddin, pronounced Myrddin, but Myrddin mostly, and Mervyn I was known as in the army. Jones, that's all. I was born in Argoid, just a little valley village up the road here, August the 1st, 1914.
Right. And what did your parents do?
My mother originally was teaching, but I don't think she went back after I was born. And my father was in business in the clothing trade.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to school?
Taunton.
You went to boarding
Taunton school, yes. Yeah.
And what ages were you there?
I was there from 1924 to 1931. So for age, 10 when I went? Yes, 1924. 10 years to about 16, 17.
Right. What did you do when you left school?
I went into the family business.
Uh-huh. Doing what?
Selling clothing.
Right. Yeah. And then, so how long were you doing that?
Oh, and I retired at 80.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was the third generation, or fourth generation. No, I was the third generation, that's right. And the fourth generation still carrying on in Blackwood, which is just 2 or 3 miles away.
Right. So you were in the family business from the age of 16
yes.
until you went in the army?
Well, yes, until the war broke out. But I joined the Territorial Army in 1935. I was commissioned.
Right. Where was that?
I was commissioned into the 3rd Mons at Abergavenny, and I went to the company, B Company at Tredegar.
So how much time did you spend on the TA?
I think far too much would be as good an answer as any, but quite a lot. Mm. I did all the camps and a few courses. Of course, you start off in those days, I think they probably still do, you would know this, a course at Sandhurst. So I did that in 1935.
So what did that course entail?
I suppose they tried to do 2 years course of Sandhurst in 2 weeks. I think that was probably it. It's generally fairly simple stuff, but not recruits training. We were taken. And of course, I'd been in the OTC before that in Taunton. And got the distinguished rank of Lance Corporal.
So at the end of your Sandhurst 2 weeks, you came out with what rank?
I was second lieutenant. Yes, I was commissioned as a second lieutenant because of my Cert A with the OTC, I presume.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of, the TA was 1 day a week, was it, basic sort of commitment?
Yes, a drill night once a week and probably once a month a Sunday. Mm-hmm. With no pay in those days and no bounty for the officers, so it was all quite voluntary.
Yeah. So what sorts of things were you learning then, and what sort of things were the men learning in the TA?
Fairly simple and basic infantry. Advancing in sections and platoons. Very seldom did one do anything bigger, like a company exercise. And a little bit of physical stuff like route marching, say 2, 3, or 4 miles possibly, which was quite a lot when you're not used to it.
What sort of people were in the TA?
Around here, they were nearly all miners, in Tredegar and Ebervale, that area, who were glad to have a fortnight's holiday in camp with a £5 bounty and pay as well. It was quite something. It really was a holiday for them.
What sort of ages were they?
Oh, right from about 20 to 50, 55, 60, some First World War NCOs.
So you had an idea there was going to be a war quite a long time
before. I think by 37 we decided, and I had anyway, that there was going to be a war. Yes, I think so. I think most of us agreed to that.
And did you imagine it would be a war like the First War?
I think so, yes. I think I remember I think it was at Sandhurst. They were talking about tanks. And I couldn't understand how a tank with a gun that couldn't penetrate anything could fight another tank. And I was more or less told to stop asking silly questions. I remember that very well. I thought they were going to send me down at one time. Because the great talk was this tank, the I tank it was called in those days, had so much armor that nothing could penetrate it. And what they were using was virtually a pea shooter, you know, one inch cannon or something. And I imagine having to do something like what they use at fairgrounds, these electric car things, you know, what they call dodgems, that's right. Hurling themselves at each other that way. That's what I suggested they would have to do, and it wasn't taken very well. But yes, we were. It was. I think we were expecting trenches. In fact, when I went, I did a tour with the BEF in 1940. I was attached to the 2nd Division, the 1st Royal Berkshires. And trenches, of course, couldn't be dug in on the frontier there. It was so flat and flood-ridden. So they had breastworks, which stuck it out like a sore thumb. And I didn't really think that we had much hope of holding up the Germans there.
Let's go back to the TA, because we'll work through yes. in chronological order. So you were in the TA when the announcement of war was made.
I was, yes. That day I had a platoon in Bailey Park, Abergavenny, digging air raid trenches. And I remember walking up to a bungalow at the end of the field where we were, the park, and hearing the announcement by the Prime Minister. And the famous moment when the sirens went off, of course. You probably know about that, too. Sirens went off during the broadcast in London, but it was only a friendly small aircraft that had got under the screen somewhere or other that caused the alarm. So I started the war at Abergavenny.
Right. What were your feelings on hearing that war had been announced?
A bit miserable. I thought, well, why should we be giving our time and possibly our lives? I didn't think of that. I always thought I was going to get through it all in one piece. But yes, annoyance, I think, that life as we knew it was obviously going to change. And we were told to pack up our civilian clothes and send them home and stick to khaki for the rest of our life, it appeared to be.
What were your parents' feelings?
I don't know. I don't think it was ever discussed. I was on holiday when we were on the Friday, I think it was, on the Thursday, that's right. I think they invaded Poland, and I thought, well, I'd better get back, because I knew that we were on a sort of 24-hour standby. I was down in Devonshire, and I got back and phoned up, and I was told to write a report next day to come over Vale and then go to Abergavenny. That was on the Saturday, I think. Friday, I went with, on the Friday, and we went to Abergavenny on the Saturday.
So, your war started in Abergavenny?
Yes.
And what activity? I mean, you were sort of trained soldiers in a sense. There was a permanent barracks, was there?
Yes, it was a drill hall there.
Yeah, right.
But we were put up in various houses and hotels, houses, I think, mostly. I think we slept in the drill hall for about 2 or 3 nights in sleeping bags, and then we moved out to. There was an old country house, Neville Hall. It's now a hospital, and we were billeted there for about a fortnight, and then we moved to the Hereford area.
So you were part of the Monmouthshire Regiment.
The 3rd Monmouthshire Regiment, 3rd Battalion of the Monmouthshire Regiment, and with us were the 2nd Mons and the Hereford Regiment. and we were 159 Welsh Border Brigade, so 53rd Welsh Division.
So training then intensified then, did it?
Oh, yes. Yes, we were at it probably about 8 hours a day then, drill and small exercises of a section or platoon at the most.
And what sort of weapons were you being trained with?
Certainly World War One, the old Lee Enfield rifle, the Lewis gun, although the Bren gun was just coming in, and I think we had a mixture of both, the old 1914 Lewis gun and the 1937 Bren. And yes, that was about it.
So you were a second lieutenant?
Yes.
So what were your specific duties, and tell me about the men under your command? And
well, I had a platoon of about 30, 31 men. One had to be a sort of father and mother to them, really. A lot of them couldn't write letters, so you had to write letters for them. And make sure that even the simplest things, that they knew how to do things. And the training, I think, was best left, and I certainly did it, supervised, let the NCOs do it, because they knew the basics drill rather better than recruits from the OTC, I felt. But well, by that time, of course, I had had two PIPs. You were a second lieutenant for 3 years, then you had your second PIP.
Do you remember the name of any of your NCOs then?
Yes, Corporal Draper, I remember. My platoon sergeant, I can't think. I think it was Evans. Yes, it was Sergeant Evans. They were from Cumber Vale, steelwork. They were both miners, not steelworkers. Because the steelworkers, I think, were kept reserved occupation. And most of the miners were called back, or no, some of them afterwards, because they were reserved occupation.
So what was the atmosphere like then? Were people imagining you'd be sent off to a front somewhere?
Yes, we were expecting to be sent off possibly in the next 2 or 3 months. BF was on its way, of course, had got a footing in France. Some people were talking about the war being over by Christmas, but not many. I don't think we really believed that. I didn't anyway. I thought it was going to be a long struggle, which of course it turned out to be. But I think people were reasonably happy, and we didn't expect the blitz that came in 1940, the battlefield one, not the blitz on London, the Blitzkrieg. Yeah. I think that came quite unexpectedly.
Yeah. So how long were you at Abergavenny? You were there for what?
Only about 2 to 3 weeks, I think, before we moved to Moreton-on-Lug, just outside Hereford, where the whole brigade concentrated. One battalion in Hereford, one in Moreton-on-Lug, and I've forgotten where the third was, but within 2 or 3 miles. The brigadier was a chap called Brigadier Bruxner Randall, Royal Welsh Fusiliers. I think it's a fairly well-known name in the Fusilier Regiment.
What was he like as a senior?
We thought he was a fairly good disciplinarian, quite a striking looking chap, and yes, I think we had a fair amount of confidence. We thought he was as good a brigadier as one, the average. I think we were quite happy with him.
So what sort of equipment and uniform and so on? I mean, were you issued with everything you expected?
Yes, of course, we went to war in our service dress, which was the normal dress. But fairly soon, I think within possibly a fortnight or 3 weeks, battle dress was issued. And we got used to that. And it was so easy to You didn't have to take too much care of it, I felt, in those days, because you could always go to the quartermaster and get it replaced, whereas your own service dress cost an enormous sum of about £12, so took care of that.
What sort of equipment and arms had you been issued with?
We were issued initially with a .45 revolver, and I think about Christmas time we had .38, which was a lighter, smaller weapon and more easy to handle, certainly. And I think I kept that one. Whether I took it out to the Far East with me, I don't know. Or I issued a new one out there. No, I think I took it out with me. I carried that for the whole of the war. And later on, I acquired an American M1 carbine, which was a nice little lightweight rifle, and that was my favourite personal weapon.
So you were all master around Hereford?
All around Hereford, yes. Shrewsbury, I think, was the divisional headquarters, and the other two brigades would have been equally spaced from Shrewsbury as we were in Hereford.
Right. So how long did that situation go on?
That lasted until about Christmas time. When we went down to Tenby, just about the early December, I think it would have been, the whole of the brigade moved to Tenby and took over the hotels on the seafront in Tenby.
So what was that like, a different atmosphere there?
Well, yes, it was, and it was very pleasant. The weather was reasonably good, apart from a freak storm that we had throughout the whole country, I think, of ice. You remember that, don't you, the ice?
Yes.
Yes, we were very happy down there, and we did a bit of training out in the countryside there. A lot of it was marching. One thing I remember in the pre-war days was the old company cooker, which was drawn by a horse, and you were marching along with this horse-drawn vehicle behind you and the chap cooking the dinner as we went along.
So how was that fueled?
Coal.
Right. Mm. Amazing. So you had a coal fire going on the wagon?
On the wagon, yes. Yes, I remember that. I thought it was a bit archaic, but there we are. That was part of the setup until, I suppose, about 1939 we became fully mechanized, I think, and horses were withdrawn from officers.
So did you have a horse?
I didn't know. Company only down to company commanders, apart from the one platoon, a machine gun platoon, they had they were mounted. But the order came out in after Dunkirk, after France, that all officers up to the rank of brigadier, up to the rank of lieutenant colonel, had to be able to ride a motorcycle, and brigadiers and generals had to be able to ride pillion. I remember that in 1940.
So Christmas 1939, you were at Tenby.
Christmas 39, Tenby, up until about end of February, early March, when we were sent to Northern Ireland. The one brigade containing the 2nd Mons, 160 Brigade, had gone much earlier. I think they went in October to Northern Ireland, soon after the outbreak of war. And we were sent over there. The whole of the 53rd Division concentrated in Northern Ireland in February, March 1940. We were in Londonderry then. We went to Londonderry, Ebrington Barracks.
So what was it like there then?
Well, I got no impression at all at the time of any trouble with the Irish trouble, except that we were not allowed to go into certain parts of Londonderry less than about 3 or 4 in a bunch. We weren't to go singly.
Were you told why?
I realise that they were hostile to us, and possibly you might get a chamber pot of something thrown over you as you went underneath. But we didn't want to go there anyway. It was the bogside area, and we did go down to Londonderry very much, even to the main town. So it didn't concern me, and I honestly don't remember querying it. I thought I accepted it as being normal. The troops had been there for 100 years or so, and they'd observed that, so we may as well carry on.
Did you have any idea of why you'd been sent to Northern Ireland? Was there a specific task?
Yes, it was the to counter an invasion of Southern Ireland by the Germans. Because I went down to Southern Ireland a few times. I became adjutant after I came back from France. And
sorry, you went to France when?
In April 39, April 40 to May 40.
Right. Should we put that bit in then? So in April 40...
April 40, I did an attachment to the BEF, as it was called then.
So how did you get to France? How did you...
Oh, we're down to Southampton, night crossing, all blackout, all the mysterious and exciting. And along, I don't know where we landed, must have been Le Havre, I think, because it was a long train journey. Took about a day and a half in a very uncomfortable French train, but we did have a first-class compartment, where the carriages behind were these 40 men or 8 horses or something.
And where did you join the BEF then?
A place, it was just north of Arras. I think the village was called Baku. I've been back there once, but they've changed the name of the village, which made it a bit more tiresome.
And who were you joining there? You were then a lieutenant?
Yes, I was on attachment to the 2nd Berkshires of the 2nd Division to learn how they were fighting the war, which they weren't fighting really, because they were on the Belgian frontier and it was all very quiet. But they were quite... I remember my company commander of the Berkshires saying, oh, it'll be over by Christmas. And again, I thought, well, that's not what I'm thinking. And a few days later, of course, we found out I was probably a bit nearer the truth than he was.
What happened then?
Well, I was sent... Then they pulled... We were a party... This attachment consisted of, I think we were 10 eventually, originally when we set out. And they called them all in from the various units that they've been attached to. And initially, for half a day, I was in charge of a German prisoner of war who had been shot down. I had to take him back to army headquarters at Arras. But I was stopped halfway through that operation. I can't remember much about it, but I know he was handed over to the military police and I was sent back to a reinforcement camp. And then we were bundled together, the 10 of us, and shipped home. We came back. I'm not quite sure. I think it was Cherbourg, but it could have been Le Havre, where we'd gone in anyway. So we were back in England before Dunkirk.
So how long were you in France altogether?
I think it was 6 weeks.
Right.
And then I had to lecture the 3rd month then on how they were to lose the war in France. I mean, by which time I got back to talk about it, it was all over anyway. Yeah. And how hopeless it had been.
Right. So what did you tell them? What were the problems that...
Well, we tried to make the best of it. Obviously, you couldn't say that we were inept... And no idea how to fight a war, so I just told them what they were expecting and how differently things had turned out. I mean, we were never told how to fight battles against armored panzer divisions, because there was no such thing. We didn't know what the Germans had, although they'd used them in Poland a bit, I suppose. But we had certainly no defense apart from the 18-pounder field gun for the Royal Artillery.
So what are the officers of the Berkshires told you, you know, about the problems they were having? What was their attitude?
They were. I thought they were quite happy with things. They were waiting for a fight, and they thought they were going to win it. And if they didn't get there quick enough, it'd be all over. The Germans would have been beaten. I think that was the general attitude, which surprised me somewhat. But
of course, course, in the
they were regular soldiers, and who was I to criticise their...
How old were you then?
25.
Right. Okay. So back in Northern Ireland, you were...
Back in Northern Ireland, we were... The Third Mons, in fact, were the advance guard of the 53rd Division to move on to Beldonnell Airport if there was a landing by the German paratroops. That was our first objective. And we were better equipped, specially equipped for it. We had more carriers than the normal to make sure we kept mobile and kept going fast. And that was our job, was to make straight for Beldonnell. And I used to go down there to Dublin and try to get out to Beldonnell to see what was happening, see what they if they had any precautions there and what anything that might affect us.
Right. And what was the situation there?
Oh, very friendly. I remember calling in at the... I stayed at the Gresham one night. And I went downstairs to have a haircut, and there was another chap in there. After he'd gone, Bob said that was the German attaché to the Irish government. So it was all very friendly, and I'm sure he knew who I was too, and they knew who I was.
What was the attitude of the Irish people in the south?
Well, we probably only got to know the Protestants, I think, and they were all very friendly. Glad to see us. And I don't think we took too much notice of the troubles. I think they were in the back of one's mind, or certainly the politicians. But I think that they probably sent the Welsh division there, and the other division that came was Scottish after us, or alongside us at one time. And I think they thought it would be more sensible to use Welsh and Irish and Scottish rather than English divisions. That's the impression one had. Why we were sent there.
So, did you see any Irish Republican unrest or trouble?
No, we didn't.
So you carried on training in Northern Ireland then?
Yes, fairly vigorous then, and we were given in order to do this job in Southern Ireland, the division had a motor coach company.
So tell me about the motor coach company.
They were old civilian buses that had been requisitioned, camouflaged, and they made certainly our brigade mobile, if not the whole division. So we went off with carriers in the front, light armour, and then the busloads of soldiers. I think there were 30. Yes, that's right. One platoon per bus. Yes, the motor coach companies they were called. I remember that.
Did you imagine you'd be taking those to war with you?
Well, we were certainly taking them down to Southern Ireland. Yes.